A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 99. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about Come Andromeda. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England.
And this is Sabrina from Italy.
A for Andromeda was a 1961 BBC science fiction serial that ran for 7 episodes. It was written by the well-known astrophysicist Fred Hoyle, along with John Elliott, and it was about the discovery in the early 1970s, the future at that time, of a message sent from the stars that had a series of instructions that led scientists to build something and create a number of new things. A very interesting classic show that we covered back in episode 43 and 44 of British Invaders. So we did look at this quite a while ago now. And it was a very interesting show. Unfortunately, it is missing. Most of it is missing, but there is a reconstruction of it that you can watch available on DVD.
Yeah, as you say, Brian, a very interesting show that we covered, I think, about 2 years ago now. And when we cover these shows, we always like to look at remakes and other versions and spin-offs. And Brian and I like to try and watch as much of this stuff as we can, but we don't get to see everything. And in the case of A for Andromeda, we knew that there'd been an Italian remake called Come Andromeda, which came out in 1972. But we didn't know too much about it. And as is often the case, we put out the call that if anybody out there had seen this show and could compare the two for us, perhaps they could get in touch. And so we were delighted when Sabrina contacted us from Italy. And Sabrina's here to join us to talk a little bit about the Italian version of this show. So Sabrina, perhaps you tell us a little bit about the 1972 version that you watched and how you came across it.
Well, I saw it because in 1972, I was six. Not six exactly, almost six, because it was broadcasted in February, in January and February. So I was a child, and even if it was supposed to be an adult program, an adult show, I must say I don't remember very much of seeing it the first time. The only scene that struck me was the scene of the death of Christine, of course, because obviously this was this mystery of those plates that could electrocute a person, and she was going there anyway, even if she knew somehow that it would be dangerous for her. And that's the only thing I remember at the time. Then later, the LAU Society decided to, starting in 2000, to publish the old television things, and it was quite a success in Italy. Come Andromeda came along with many other things that we did at the time, and I bought it. And then I found out the English version, and then I found you, and so I had to buy the novel too, and to compare everything.
So you've seen the English version, that, or the bits that survive?
Yeah. Then... I've seen on the DVD, of course.
Right.
And you've looked at the DVD version of Come Andromeda as well, right?
Of course. So I had to refresh my old memories.
So how did the Italian version stand up on its own, just as a show separate from the original one?
First of all, I don't believe the Italian directors and adaptators and everyone who was involved in the production of that ever knew there was a serial. They found the novel. Actually, Fabri Editori in Italy published both novels, Come Andromeda and the Italian version of the Andromeda Breakthrough, both between 62 and 66. The Andromeda Breakthrough was titled something like The Threat of Andromeda, roughly translated from Italian. L'insidia di Andromeda, something like that. They read the novel and they decided to base the serial on that. Personally, I believe that if they knew that it was a serial, nowadays there's very, very little knowledge about that in Italy. If you see Italian Wikipedia, they say that there is a serial in 1961 which is based on the novel, which is not true. It's exactly the other way around, isn't it?
That's right. The novel was actually written also by Fred Hoyle and John Elliott, and it came out fairly soon after the original serial did. And the sequel serial that you mentioned, The Andromeda Breakthrough, was broadcast in 1962. The original English broadcast does still exist.
Who knows why, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. And the novel from that was also produced quite soon after that. So it's interesting that what you're saying is that the Italian translations of the novel came out quite early, not long after the original English versions of the novels had been released.
Yeah, in those years when science fiction started to arrive to my country, because we never had science fiction before. Must remind that we came from fascism. During that period, Italian writers were not allowed to write thriller because it was a foreigner genre, let alone science fiction. We always had this resistance against this kind of foreign genre, things that we were not accustomed to. We just started to buy something from abroad in those period. We started, I believe, we get UFO and The Prisoner. That was not exactly science fiction, but not very much, actually, because we realized that there was a potential, that there was a success, especially after 1969, when the first man fled on the moon. We were not very keen on this genre. We are not yet. We are not very much a science fiction nation.
So in the few years after the moon landing, I guess Acom Andromeda would have been an example of trying to do something new and something sort of science fiction related that they didn't really have before there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they've been so slow in doing it. And they had so many resistance on doing it on other writers. I mean, they choose this book and they did it again. The second major science fiction things on Italian television produced by Italy, by Rai, the Italian Rai TV, was Gamma. Was written by a surgeon, an Italian surgeon. They choose not professional writers to base their works on, but professional scientists, because they needed something very serious. I mean, our television were always keen in seriousness. They was concerned about this starting with science fiction, because they thought it could be something not very dignified, you know. They needed something. So they choose Acom Andromeda, yes, the Italian version of the novel, Acom Andromeda, because it was a novel written by an astronomer. And if they even thought it could be a serial before, it could be a serial, and the novel was only a novelization, I believe they would never choose Andromeda. They wouldn't, I don't know, maybe we wouldn't have anything, a good science fiction in Italy. It was an enormous success, 60 million of viewers, 60,800,000. I don't know if anywhere else they can have such a figure of viewing, but they didn't do very much with that in the end, because we only produced two major things in science fiction. And Andromeda has been, I mean, it was not the very first, because we had something else before, but no one remembers of it. Andromeda was the first very big hit we had on television about science fiction.
This was a huge success at the time then on Italian television.
Enormous. Right. I mean, I've seen many things of Doctor Who. I don't believe that Doctor Who never reached 16 million of viewers.
And was it in black and white? Because obviously the original BBC was black and white.
No, the problem was that we had not color. In 1972, January and February, when we were broadcasting Andromeda, you were broadcasting Doctor Who, Day of the Dalek and Curse of Peladon. It was in color, and you had color for a while already, haven't you?
That's right, yes.
We had the first color recording in 1978, the first television sets around the nation in 1980, only because there was the World Cup, you know.
That is very late for color introduction, for sure.
Extremely late, but this is Italy. I mean, we are, as I told you, the first science fiction in Italy was in the late 60s. When did the science fiction start in America? 40s, 30s?
Slightly earlier on radio, perhaps. Certainly in books, it goes very far back.
Yeah, but we didn't, because, I mean, we are late on anything, on everything.
Now, you were saying that Acom Andromeda was based on the novel rather than being based on the British television version.
Exactly.
So you would think then that the look of it would be quite different and wouldn't be at all related to the original version. Do you think the look of Acom Andromeda and the visual style they used was very much its own thing and more in an Italian television tradition rather than being something similar to the British version?
Well, actually, I've seen the surviving scenes of the British version, and I didn't see very much of a change. I mean, As I told you, they need a very serious thing, and they treat it in a very serious way. And not only that, we didn't have very much of a prop department, a special effect department. We never had anything like that. So we had real computers. The computers were provided by the Honeywell Italy, that is no longer producing computers anymore. But at the time, they were very much advanced on that, and they provided this enormous box that are spread all around the studios where they did the recording. It looked real, and I think I'm remembering the scenes I've seen in the English scenes the surviving scenes I've seen. They had printers and real machine looking that looked real machines either. So I don't think it was very much different. So I believe it looked very much the same. Though it seemed to me that the videotape looked a bit better. I don't know, maybe the surviving scene of Andromeda are a bit faded, I don't know. But in the Italian version, it looked very beautiful, clear videotape scenes. They are faded too. Some bits of the serial show the years. The show, it's been...
It shows its age a little bit.
Its age, yeah, right. Yep. But anyway, it has a beautiful look, though it doesn't look, couldn't look like Doctor Who did.
Sure.
But it looked less artificial, though, because it was all real. Even the biological facilities, you know, the things they used to do the cell, to build up the cells and so on, it was real. They came from a chemistry firm, Carlo Erba, doesn't exist anymore, but it was a very famous company producing drugs and so on, and they provide that too.
Interesting. So I think that leads us into the idea of the science in this. The original A for Andromeda had a tremendous amount of science in it, and a lot of it was focused on what the scientists do with the message and what they construct and what the machines they construct do in turn, and the experimental process and the procedure of moving from step to step to step and investigating, and this sort of scientific process that runs through much of A for Andromeda throughout the story. Now, how do you think that was reflected in AECOM Andromeda? Was that something that they also chose to focus on?
Well, the serial was extremely faithful to the novel. It was something, some cut here and there, but they almost followed the dialogue word by word. So the scientific part is not being touched. They repeat it exactly as it was. It was not no change in it. The only change was that we didn't have the scene of the Cyclops. We cut that. We passed directly from the first cells to the death of Christine, and then the creation of Andromeda. We didn't have the intermediate the Cyclops. I believe this was for many reasons, because they didn't want to really scare the public. They say knows maybe for that too, because they were concerned for many things, but not so much. They did so many scary things that period. They broadcast Belfagor. Ghost of Louvre, Fantasma del Louvre, something like that. It was terribly scary. Never wanted to see that, and they didn't care for that. I mean, they didn't mind for that. It was an enormous success, and they broadcast it. They didn't care if it was scary or not. So I don't see why I should be worried about the Cyclops being scary. But I'm afraid that, as I told you, we never had very much of a special effect department. I'm afraid that we could not do it.
Well, the look of having that certainly would be something that I could see being a point to make that decision on. Just to clarify that, in the original A for Andromeda, one of the things that the scientists went through and the biologist Madeline Donne went through is explaining to the machine from this alien message how life on Earth works, and they go through the process of creating, constructing, growing this strange creature that is sort of something that doesn't quite work, that ends up being this sort of living blob with one eye that was referred to as the Cyclops. The format of the original was in 7 45-minute episodes. It was quite a long, extended story that had lots of detail, and the story was sort of spread out in a fairly slow way, but with lots of other things with the science happening along the way. And you had various subplots, including the sort of political spy story that was going on with a European information cartel called Intel, things going on with one of the scientists with that. How did things stand with Acom Andromeda in terms of the format and how the story elements were used and the pacing? I believe it was a little shorter than the original version. Is that right?
Well, not very much, because it was 5 installments and not 7. But the 7 installment was 45 minutes each. The Italian installment was 1 hour each. So in the end, it was 5 hours of total broadcasting versus 5 hours and 15 minutes for the English version. So it was not so much shorter. It was different, actually. Not very different. I told you they've been very, very specific. They followed the dialogue line by line, every instruction. Even there have been a moment where they've been more detailed than the book was. I mean, in the story, in the English story, the computer asked for the formula of hydrogen first, and then carbon. It seemed that it was asking about the life form, how the life was based. In Italy, it started with hydrogen and then helium, and then it kept going on. Like, it was checking the periodic table, you know, very strict and detailed. They follow everything line by line, really. But the point of view, story-wise, I mean, they changed a bit of things. There was the cyclope missing, some subplots was more paced. I mean, all the story was a bit more paced, because I've seen the novel missed a lot of redundant scenes. In the scripts, there was a lot of redundant scenes, people who were talking about the backgrounds, the story, how society was, how the relationship between the government and Intel was, all these things that didn't add very much to the story. I don't know, because I only read the script, but I believe in 61 they used to stick very much to the script. They didn't ad-lib too much the time. Seen the Avenger was like that.
Yes, that's true.
So I think I can rely on the scripts. And there was very, very long moments that keep dragging a bit. When Andromeda was born, they show us her education, her reading and repeating words and learning to talk. In Italy, we didn't have that. We've seen Andromeda first in the steel lung, you call it. We've seen her first in the steel lung. What's the English for that?
Oh, the iron lung, right. Like in the
iron lung. You know, we call it steel. We call it steel. Polmone, yes. D'acciaio. You say iron lung. We saw her first in the iron lung, and next scene she was walking around, dressed, completely dressed, not talking. In the end, she was very silent. But the Dr. Darnley say, yeah, I know you can speak. I'm sure you can speak. You will speak when you will feel comfortable. So the part of the education was skipped. We didn't see that. We didn't see her learning to walk. We didn't see her learning to talk or things like that. And many of them, and I believed it was from the start, when I believed that the Italian serial was based on the script, I said, oh, look, they improved the pace so very much. Then I read the novel, and it was that. It was improved. It was that pace that the Italian serial copied. The novel was very much more paced than the serial, really. And that cut a lot. We decided to follow strictly how the novel was. We decided to follow that pace and that storyline. But then we added a bit of action. We didn't change very much. As I told you, the biggest things that the major things that changed was the missing Cyclops, and a bit more of action in the subplot of the spying things, the relationship between Bridger and Intel, his death, how Judy found out about his papers, the papers he was smuggling to Intel, and so on. And then we had also a little bit of action when in the end the army dealt with Intel also. There's nothing like that in the
right.
In the English serial. I mean, we made it a little bit paced.
Okay, and it takes the pace from the novel.
Yeah, it takes from the novel, though, not from the serial.
Okay.
Interesting. The original project to create Afra Andromeda on British TV was first written in scripts for 7 30-minute episodes, and then it was expanded to the 45-minute episodes. And the novel was based more on the 30-minute episodes, or the 30-minute episode scripts, than the 45-minute episode scripts that were used for broadcast. So it's probably related to that that you get something that is a little bit more like that slightly faster pacing that you saw in the novel.
Yeah, I don't see why. So they act like that. I mean, the more paced the serial was, I mean, it looked better to me, the novel and the Italian, I mean, more the Italian version looked a bit more paced. I mean, it was not dragging very much like the English version. So if they had already a paced version, why didn't they use that?
Well, we talked about this, I think, before, that when they the television time slot they had was expanded from 30 minutes to 45 minutes, I think, Brian. And so they had to stretch their script slightly, which did lead to the occasional bit of padding in the British BBC version.
The fact is they had to do 7 installments, didn't they? Because we had 1 hour slot. But we have 5 installments.
Based on the novelization, you've got that slightly stripped down, pacier version.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned the character of Andromeda herself, which I think takes us into some of the performances. In the BBC version, we had particularly Peter Halliday and a very young Julie Christie, and also an actor called Mary Morris playing the character of Professor Dornay. So quite standout performances there. What about the performances in the Italian version?
Well, as I told you, Italian television was very keen in seriousness and classic performances, and most of the people who were working on television came from theater. And that's the case of Ecco Andromeda. We had the actress who played Andromeda was at the time famous in theater. Nowadays, no one remembers of Nicoletta Rizzi, actually, because after the 70s, she didn't work. She left the scene, actually. So I believe she's been a bit forgotten. But Nicoletta Rizzi was very famous at the time. She had this alien beauty, was very blonde and slender. And she really looked, and she was an android, not really a human being. So she fit perfectly in the part of Andromeda. But then she was not the first choice. The first choice had to be an Italian singer, Patti Pravo, who looked very much the same and had very much of an alien mind, actually. She was a very strange person. And she recorded very much of the serial. But then she claimed to have health problems and she left everything. So they had to recast the part and they get Nicoletta Rizzi, who did miracles, really, because with the very short time she had, she fleshed out a perfect character. She was really good at Andromeda. Even also because Inizero Cremaschi, the adaptator of the story, decided to give her a slight difference. We find out in the end that when the last installment, when she tries to kill John, that she is not exactly the slave of the computer as she is in the English version. She's something outcast from everything. She doesn't belong to the Andromeda intelligence, and she's not human either. So she's lost and alone, she's a bit of a different character. She's cold, as cold as the original Andromeda, but there is also this small part of humanity in her. But it's not humanity, because she doesn't feel human.
So it sounds like with the handling of certainly the character of Andromeda, they put something of their own spin onto it and made it a little bit different, which sounds nice.
Yeah, just a little bit, and just in the last installment. Only in they changed the ending a bit, but just a bit, because almost everything happens like in the English version. The only difference is the real ending.
How about the performances for the characters of Fleming and Donnay and so on?
Oh, well, John Fleming was the best choice they could ever do. Luigi Vannucchi, one of the greatest theater and television actors that we ever had in the 70s. He did a very, very classic performance. He was very much of the tormented hero. I believe I could say that he worked a bit better than the original. What is his name? Peter Halliday?
That's him.
I could tell he worked a little bit better than Peter Halliday, because he was really a tormented character. He took his life in 78. It was an enormous loss for Italian television. He had this deeply disturbed personality. I mean, he could be the alcoholic guy who keeps going around shouting that the world was at an end. I mean, he was the kind of guy who fits perfectly in this part, and at the same time he was extremely talented. Professor Dunaway was not very, I mean, I know that Mary Morris was very famous in England, but Gabriella Giacobbe had not very much of a record in Italy. She did a very good doctor and very good performance in this role. But she's been treated as a minor figure, I must say. She's not as important as the Dr. Downey in the English version. In the Dr. Downey, he did the other Andromeda, didn't she? She was the most important of the character that went on the other, on the sequel.
In the Andromeda Breakthrough.
Yeah, the Andromeda Breakthrough did have Andromeda and Dr. Fleming, but Madeleine Donnay has a very strong role in the Andromeda Breakthrough, for sure.
Yeah, in Italian version, at the very end of the last installment, Dr. Hunter goes to Colonel Gear and says that Madeleine Downey is dead. She dies in the end of our series. So there was no way we could do an Andromeda Breakthrough as a sequel, because if we killed off one of the major characters, I don't know how would we ever think of making. In fact, we never did a sequel to the Italian Andromeda. Even if we had the novel, we knew about it, but I'm afraid that the sequel didn't sound scientific enough. You asked me about how the science was treated. I think that one of the reasons why they chose Andromeda was it was written by a scientist and very scientific. The second was not as scientific as the first, so I believe they didn't want to follow it because it was not on the line that a writer be expected by a science fiction Italian production. In fact, the other great success of Italian television in science fiction, Gamma, was very medical, was written by a surgeon and very strict on science about surgery. And the Andromeda Breakthrough, I've seen it, but I don't remember it to be very scientific as the first one, maybe.
It is certainly not as scientific as the first one. It has quite a few elements of science, but the story of it has a bit more of a political flavor to it, which is also very good. But yeah, it's not as focused on the science aspect as the first one was.
I believe you struck a chord here, because political matters in Italian television should never be touched. We try to avoid in every way anything political on fiction. And that I believe it must be one of the reasons why we didn't have Kaufman. You know, the Intel agent. He wasn't
yes.
Kaufman. He was Barnett. Why Barnett? No one ever knew that. Why didn't they have a German character? Maybe because of the accent, or maybe because they was afraid of touching a chord of talking so directly with the Eastern power. They decided to have a Barnett and have Intel sounding just like an industrial spying company and not involved into international spying things, political spying things. So we, of course, had the scenes of the missiles, Andromeda building the missiles for the army and this Asian things crossing the skies of England and so on, which is political, actually. But we didn't have these direct things of Intel being... actually, no one mentioned that Intel was a foreign company. I remember in Andromeda Breakthrough, Kaufman said it was often speaking to Geneva. No, what was that? In Germany or in Sweden. But in Italy, I don't believe even he received the call from the call he was expecting. He spoke Italian at the phone when he received the call in the car. Remember, he had a call while he was in car with Bridger.
In the original version, I think the idea of this German character, Kaufman, was very much playing on the tension between the UK and continental Europe and sort of the differences there and... how the British community at the time thought about people from other parts of Europe. Wouldn't you say there were elements of that, Eamon?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they certainly came through in, as you say, particularly in the Andromeda Breakthrough, that was quite noticeable. And as you said, there's lots of sort of like intrigue and politics and sort of like it's almost like a spy story going on.
Another thing that's interesting, you mentioned, Sabrina, about the death of Madeleine Donnay being mentioned. They actually did something very similar in the other remake of A for Andromeda. There was a 2006 BBC remake of A for Andromeda that was actually quite short. It was less than 90 minutes, and it didn't have nearly as much science in it. but it did have a very similar thing where there was a casual mention that Madeleine Donne had died. So that's interesting that that came up in both cases there.
They've seen our serial, maybe.
Well, who knows?
Maybe so, yes. And talking of seeing it, is it still available on DVD, the Italian version?
Of course it is. But I'm not sure it could be easy to have it in abroad. I don't think anyone in Italy thinks is being prepared to think that our stuff could be sold abroad. We never sold anything abroad, not even when in the 70s when it was television, simply television. Our television never sold anything abroad. And I don't think they are prepared to sell things abroad.
I believe you can import a copy of Acom Andromeda on DVD to the UK or North America, but of course it unfortunately does not have English subtitles.
Of course.
I think it would have been very nice if they had added English subtitles to the DVD, but they didn't.
As I told you, they've never been prepared of selling abroad. They never thought that anyone out of Italy could be interested in it.
So as you say, the Italian version is available on DVD, but no English subtitles.
Not at all.
No.
So I am going to guess from all you've been saying, Sabrina, that you like Acom Andromeda and you would recommend it.
Of course I do, if you can get it.
And if you can understand it.
Of course. But you see, as I told you, the English dialogue is being followed very, very strictly. So if you don't speak Italian, you can guess anyway, most of the things, because it's been extremely faithful to the novel. If you watch Acom Andromeda with your novel in hand and keep comparing, you can understand, you can guess very closely what they say.
Well, I may have to do just that. Okay, thank you for joining us, Sabrina.
Thank you.
This is great that we've been able to provide this other perspective on a remake of a classic British science fiction show to our listeners.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity, since no one ever really was interested in Italian television, which was a very beautiful thing. At least I can talk about this little production.
Absolutely.
It's been fun. Been great to hear about science fiction television in another country. Thank you very much, Sabrina.
Oh, thank you.
So you can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and if you have any comments, do come and join us on the Facebook group. And until next time, this is Eamon in England, signing off.
And goodbye from Sabrina from Italy.